I feel that they will be very safe. Believe me, they will be very safe. And if anything happens to Guam, there's going to be big, big trouble.
Rhetoric and diplomacy increase on the Korean Peninsula. It's Monday, August 14th. This is VOA Asia. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, Los Angeles residents react to a potential attack. A look at the Trump presidency amid tensions at home and abroad. Myanmar's evolving democracy. The social impact of video games and 3D cells. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Heated rhetoric between the United States and North Korea is raising concern in much of the world that a major conflict is looming. But in South Korea, it is the background noise of life. Separated by the most heavily militarized border in the world, most South Koreans have lived under the risk of war for a long time. Pyongyang has repeatedly threatened to turn the South Korean capital, Seoul, into, quote, a sea of fire, and has thousands of artillery units in place along the border to do it. But as VOA Seoul correspondent Brian Padden has told us, in the South, these threats have lost the power to frighten or shock, as strong military deterrence on both sides has maintained a fragile peace for more than 60 years.
Well, while a lot of the talk in the U.S. seems to be very ratcheted up, and there seems to be a kind of DEFCON 4 level of concern about the North Korea nuclear threat, here in Seoul, people are on summer vacation, and it is not as big an issue as one would suppose.
The top U.S. general is currently on the Korean Peninsula as annual U.S. and South Korean military exercises risk further increasing tensions with North Korea. U.S. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Joe Dunford said his visit to the region this week is aimed at reassuring allies South Korea and Japan while building the military-to-military relationship with China in order to prevent miscalculations. Meanwhile, senior U.S. national security officials said Sunday a military confrontation with North Korea is not imminent, but the possibility of war has increased. President Trump gave his reassurances during a session with the media during his working vacation at his golf resort in New Jersey.
Well, I think as far as reassurance, they probably feel as reassured as they can feel. Certainly, they feel more reassured with me than they do with other presidents from the past, because nobody's really done the job that they're supposed to be doing. And that's why we're at this horrible situation right now. And it is a very bad situation. It's a very dangerous situation. And it will not continue, that I can tell you. So I think South Korea is very happy. And you don't mention Japan, but I think Japan is very happy with the job we're doing. I think they're very impressed with the job we're doing. And let's see how it turns out.
Last year, North Korea focused its provocative rhetoric on New York City, claiming it could, quote, burn Manhattan down to ashes after testing what it said was a hydrogen bomb. To back up its claim, Pyongyang has been relentlessly developing its nuclear and long-range missile capabilities to target the U.S. mainland. Now, President Trump has joined in the war of words with North Korea in ways that critics say could escalate the already tense situation on the Korean Peninsula. Last Tuesday, he said the United States would answer any North Korean aggression with, quote, fire and fury. The North Korea People's Army responded by announcing a detailed plan under consideration to launch an intermediate-range missile over Japan and into the Pacific Ocean near the U.S. territory of Guam, where a major American military base is located. North Korean state media said Trump is bereft of reason and only absolute force can work on him. President Trump says he has full confidence in the U.S. military's ability to protect the U.S. territory and elsewhere.
I feel that they will be very safe. Believe me, they will be very safe. And if anything happens to Guam, there's going to be big, big trouble in North Korea.
There is concern among Seoul residents that President Trump's confrontational personality might spark a conflict with North Korea that would quickly drag South Korea into the fighting. But any anxiety in South Korea is mitigated by the experience of living through multiple crises with the North that were eventually contained to prevent a war that would be catastrophic for both sides. U.S. Secretary of Defense James Mattis also said that while the U.S. military was ready for a confrontation with North Korea, his preference is for a diplomatic solution.
We are looking at that very carefully, and I hope that they are going to fully understand the gravity of what I said. and what I said is what I mean. So hopefully they'll understand exactly what I said and the meaning of those words. Those words are very, very easy to understand.
President Trump on Friday, who had issued a new warning to North Korea saying the U.S. military was, quote, locked and loaded. Now James Mattis.
My portfolio, my mission, my responsibility is to have military options should they be needed. However, right now, Secretary Tillerson, Ambassador Haley, you can see the American effort is diplomatically led. It has diplomatic traction. It is gaining diplomatic results. And I want to stay right there right now. The tragedy of war is well enough known. It doesn't need another characterization beyond the fact that it would be catastrophic.
On Friday, President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping reiterated their mutual commitment to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula during a telephone conversation. The White House said in a statement the two leaders affirmed that the recent adoption of a new United Nations Security Council resolution regarding North Korea was an important and necessary step toward achieving peace and stability on the Korean Peninsula. U.S. intelligence analysis has concluded Pyongyang may have succeeded in developing a new nuclear weapon small enough to fit on an intercontinental ballistic missile capable of reaching portions of the United States. China says it would not assist North Korea if it launches a first strike that threatens U.S. soil and the United States retaliates. In addition to joining us each day, stop by VOA Asia Facebook and the VOAnews.com website for the latest in this continuing story. These are among some of the top Asia stories trending on VOAnews.com. U.S. strike kills Islamic State's provincial leader in Afghanistan. Quake shakes Sumatra, no major damage or injuries. Top U.S. general focusing on diplomacy for North Korea, but preparing military options. Remembering partition, 70 years since India and Pakistan split. 1 billion trees planted in Pakistan's northwest province. Expanded coverage of these stories and much more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, also at the VOAnews.com website. VOA Asia continues. The saber rattling also continues between North Korea and the United States, and tensions appear to be rising. North Korea claims it has an intercontinental ballistic missile that can carry a nuclear warhead as far as the western United States. VOA's Elizabeth Lee asked residents and tourists in Los Angeles whether they feel the threat is real.
These are the last days of summer holidays at the famous Santa Monica Pier. For many of these Los Angeles residents and tourists, it is difficult to imagine a potential nuclear threat brewing on the other side of the Pacific Ocean. But it is on the mind of Lital Gilad.
Yeah, I am worried. I think it is a real threat. And it's on my mind. I have kids, and obviously I don't want anything so bad to happen.
It both seems to be saber-rattling on both sides, and I think that's the scariest part about the situation, that there's no level-headed person in between.
A tourist from Australia, Scott Gibbons, says a potential threat is not going to ruin his vacation.
I think anything can happen at any time, and if you worry about it too much, then you're not going to enjoy your life.
Visitor Felicia Walker shares a similar sentiment when asked whether she is worried about North Korean missiles.
Somewhat, but I am very strong in my faith, so I believe everything is going to be okay.
About 20 kilometers away, on the edge of downtown Los Angeles, is the neighborhood known as Koreatown. It sits in a county with the largest Korean population in the U.S. Yongzak-bae says she is worried.
We should attack first. We have to do something. They don't know what they're dealing with. We're not going to let it happen.
Daniel's son is more concerned about his relatives in South Korea.
I think they're in a greater risk than we are because South Korea is really close from North Korea.
Sun's friend, Chinese-American David Lee, says he's not worried.
Even though North Korea, they're strong and military, But like, I feel like they will not be dumb enough to actually to attack here. Because if they attack here, the entire world will be into a chaos.
As to whether President Donald Trump has this situation under control?
Yes, I believe it.
I mean, he is definitely not the best candidate to solve the conflict between nations.
For now, life goes on in Los Angeles pretty much as usual, as residents and visitors watch and wait for more news. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News, Los Angeles.
Happening now in Asia, the top U.S. general is on the Korean Peninsula as annual U.S. and South Korean military exercises risk further tensions with North Korea. U.S. Chairman of Joint Chief of Staff Joe Dunford is trying to reassure allies South Korea and Japan while working with China's military to prevent miscalculations. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad that you've joined us today for VOA Asia. President Donald Trump is facing his greatest foreign policy challenge to date in dealing with a nuclear-potent North Korea. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone tells us Trump's test comes in the wake of recent polls that show the president's political standing at home has weakened because of doubts about his leadership and his stalled domestic agenda.
President Trump defended his tough tone on North Korea in a brief exchange with reporters.
And frankly, the people that were questioning that statement, was it too tough? Maybe it wasn't tough enough.
Trump followed up with a Friday tweet warning that the U.S. military was locked and loaded if North Korea acted unwisely. The president is facing his first foreign policy crisis, and much of the attention has been on his blunt warning earlier in the week.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
Trump's remarks were unfortunate, says former Ambassador Bill Richardson.
Now I think the president has a chance to rally the nation, to address the country on what our policy is, but most importantly, to calm down.
President Obama, he is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS.
Americans got used to Trump's tough rhetoric during last year's election campaign. But now that he's president, the standard is different, says political analyst Larry Sabato via Skype.
He is very impulsive. Now, I suppose you could argue that abroad, that may be a plus when your enemies, when your adversaries think they're dealing with someone who doesn't exactly have a cool head. On the other hand, when you're dealing with nuclear weapons, I'd say it was in everybody's interest, including America's interest, to have someone with a cool head.
But Trump defenders say the blunt warning is what his supporters expect.
This is not the Obama White House. This is the Trump White House. We do not tell people in advance, if they are adversaries, what we are going to do.
The challenge on North Korea comes in the wake of recent polls that show the president's approval rating at home dipping to new lows, even among Republicans.
In the beginning, the vast majority of the people who voted for him strongly supported him, strongly approved his job performance. Now, in most surveys, it's down somewhere between 17 and 24%.
Trump faces a stalled congressional agenda back home and often returns to his core supporters for a boost, as he did recently in West Virginia.
Thank you, West Virginia. God bless you.
This reliance on his core supporters is not surprising, said analyst Jeremy Mayer via Skype.
By normal presidential standards, he's failing, but he's not a normal president. And to many of his base, the fact that he's so disruptive is something they like.
Recent polls show clear majorities of Americans see North Korea as a serious security threat. But only about a third of those polled said they had confidence in the president's ability to deal with the situation. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
You're listening to VOA Asia.
The news never stops, so keep current on your mobile device with VOA News. Just go to m.voanews.com/English for instant, up-to-the-minute news and entertainment. Check m.voanews.com/English on your handheld device for news as it happens. Stay connected with a fast-changing world with m.voanews.com/English.
This news alert from VOA Asia, a Voice of America analysis of visa records, shows the United States has issued more than 10,000 visas to North Koreans over the past 20 years, 18 of them this year, from March to June. With such a large number issued, analysts say the United States is more vulnerable to so-called sleeper agents. Get your intel briefing every day by visiting VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As we continue with VOA Asia, the path to democracy is, quote, not a bed of roses, says Myanmar's de facto leader Aung San Suu Kyi at the start of a forum on Friday, which the role of the military in the transition to civilian rule looms large. Speaking in the capital, Naypyidaw, to open the three-day Forum on Myanmar Democratic Transition, the Nobel laureate and state counselor delivered her opening remarks amid widespread criticism over her administration's performance more than 15 months after her party formally took power. Quote, when we are trying to change, it is never easy, according to a simultaneous translation, she said. And she added that Myanmar can learn from the experiences of other countries that have undergone similar transformations. To be behind also has some advantages, said Aung San Suu Kyi. Soren Kiel, an associate professor at Canterbury Christ University, notes that positive trends in Myanmar over the past 7 years.
The really positive thing is we've had two elections in the country which have been relatively free, and particularly the last one has also been fair. We have a parliament that's working. It's ever increasing its role, so that's good to see. We now have a civilian government that, bar the three ministers that are appointed by the commander-in-chief, all the other ministers are actually civilians that come out of a party that has won the election. So if we look at those things, there has been quite substantial progress. There's been progress in other terms. There's been progress in terms of media freedom, particularly not so much if you look before 2015, but if you look at before 2010.
Myanmar was ruled by military governments for almost five decades until allies of the former junta launched a wide-ranging reforms in 2011, leading to elections in 2015 that Suu Kyi and her National League for Democracy won by a landslide. Hanging over the whole process, however, is the still powerful military, which continues to clash with armed ethnic groups. Aung San Suu Kyi has eschewed criticism while stressing national reconciliation. Soren Kiel says there are still unanswered questions.
We know where the peace process is supposed to go towards. But when we look at democratization, I think the whole agenda becomes much more, you know, problematic. Because right. There I can't see a clear goal of saying this is where we are moving to complete civilian control.
Real-time events highlighted tension at the three-day forum as local reports pointed to a possible troop buildup in Rakhine State, where the armed forces have carried out a crackdown on Rohingya Muslim militants since deadly attacks on a police outpost last year. The operations have resulted in numerous claims of human rights abuses. Myanmar is scheduled to again hold elections in the year 2020. Our thanks to Joe Freeman in Yangon for sending us this story. Developing at this hour in Asia, Taiwan's defense ministry says China's military aircraft carried out two rounds of drills around the self-ruled island this weekend, flying past its southern tip and then around the north near Japan. Taiwan's forces monitored the drills and responded appropriately, adding there was no cause for alarm. Share great features with your friends every day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, at the recent Games for Change Festival in New York City, video games on display there were a far cry from Mario Brothers and Call of Duty. Instead, game developers showed off titles that tackled civic and social issues. VOA reporter Trina Trin explores.
You're in Nepal. A 7.8 magnitude earthquake has just struck your village, and you must rescue the survivors. This is After Days, a video game based on the real-life Nepal earthquake that killed almost 9,000 people in 2015. Minsok Do was demonstrating the game at the Games for Change Festival in New York.
When I heard about the earthquake that struck Nepal, I became more determined to create a video game based on stories of survivors.
Video games are no longer just about killing the bad guys, but a vehicle for raising awareness of social issues. In My Child Lebensborn, players care for post-World War II children fathered by Nazi soldiers.
We really want to create attention and awareness around children born of war. It's a big issue today as well. The children being born of the most hated soldiers in the world, for instance, ISIS or Boko Haram.
Developers here feel video games are the best platform for cultivating empathy.
It's so much stronger if we can get people to experience it and feeling it. And when you play a game, you have to be part of the game and answer questions. And that means that you get immersed in it.
The problem in a lot of developing countries is that people do not talk about issues. People do not want to share their problems out of embarrassment.
Omana Fassi is out to change that with the app Your Storyteller, which lets Indian women share their stories of domestic abuse, discrimination, and more. Stories are transformed into comic strip narratives for others to engage with and hopefully learn from.
For any solution to come out for any social problem, it has to be from within the community. And for that, they have to first begin talking about their issues.
And where talking fails, playing a game might just be the next best thing. Tina Trin, VOA News, New York.
Well, as we know, our bodies are made up of a huge collection of microscopic cells. But what turns a cell into a brain cell or a muscle cell or a cancer cell for that matter? It's all about the DNA and what genetic markers get turned on and off. And now, as VOA's Kevin Enix tells us, scientists at the Salk Institute have created a 3D map of a cell that's giving them a unique new view of how DNA works inside individual cells.
This new 3D imagery is letting scientists go on a tour inside the chromatin of a living cell. The chromatin is all of the genetic material, DNA, RNA, and proteins that tell each cell what to do.
The genome is the same in every cell in your body, but only certain genes are on in each cell. Okay, so obviously it's not the sequence, but it's the structure of these genes in each cell that determines if they can be accessed and used. So the question is then, what is the structure that determines if genes can be accessed and used? That really is what makes a brain cell a brain cell. And a muscle cell, a muscle cell, and also every human being, different.
Using a specially created DNA dye, the team is able to see which DNA is active and which is resting in all kinds of cells. It is a completely new way of visualizing cells.
For a long time, people were able to basically study chromatin structure by electron microscopy. However, what people do is they have to basically take the cell and break apart the cell and look at the chromatin structure.
The idea is that seeing the cell in 3D can help researchers see how active and resting DNA work together in cells to make them unique.
And so what we're really trying to understand is the local structure and the global 3D organization, both in the nucleus and when it gets inherited across cell division in mitotic chromosomes. What are those structures? How do we inherit information? And if we understand those structures, can we now begin to actually manipulate it?
And by manipulating it, the researchers mean the potential to turn on and off particular sets of DNA, which opens the door to improved diagnosis and perhaps ultimately the ability to prevent diseases like cancer. Kevin Enix, VOA News.
Well, like cells, there are many great radio stations around the world that do all kinds of wonderful, unique things. Some have one thing in common. They carry our program, VOA Asia. Like DZUP 1602 AM Radio at the University of the Philippines in Dilmun. Thanks so much for joining us. If you happen to be listening there or anywhere around the world, you can get our program as well via iTunes and SoundCloud. Stream us on VOA Asia Facebook or our website at voanews.com. We'd also like to hear from you. You can write to us via Facebook or VOA Asia at voanews.com. Our director is Tracy Carter, engineer Aydin Utku, managing editor Diane Gao, Ali Ogden and David Byrd, part of our VOA Asia team. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. Have a great day.